You have your Bibles open, and chapter number 4, I want to read this passage of Scripture, and then I'll share something with you on my heart this morning. Notice, if you will, please, in chapter number 4, I want to begin reading, if you will, follow with me, in verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God, he who loveth God love his brother also. Look at verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now for the Holy Ghost of God to have his perfect will in our life this morning. Thank you for Miss Regina singing just now. God, you've given us grace, saving grace. Lord, every person who's saved in this building and in the media audience was saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Thank you for saving grace. And God, we know that your grace is sufficient, that God, you have sustaining grace. And for every trial we face, for every need we have, God, you'll give us the grace we need at the right moment, just when we need it, to carry us through every difficulty of life. And Father, I pray, God, that we rejoice in that. And God, I pray this morning that, God, you'd bless. Thank you for the singing of the choir. And Lord, for Brother Linwood leading the singing for his life and his ministry. And I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would speak through me. Now, God, you're God. You're in this building. You know every heart. You know, Father, the condition of our heart. You know who's lost and who's saved, not only here, but all around the world. And for all our friends in the media audience, God, you know their every need. And God, I believe, God, you spoke to my heart. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would speak. And God, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, I was praying. And on Thursday, as I was praying about the service for today, kind of early in the morning in the kitchen where I usually go to pray. I get there and generally I'll just kneel there for a few moments and pray. I read my Bible and I walk around and pray. And then when I go take a walk in the morning, I pray. But on Thursday morning, I was thinking about this service. Wow, we'd had such a great service on Wednesday night. God met with us and I was blessed. If you missed it, you just flat missed it. I thank the Lord for what He did here on Wednesday night with the singing and then Brother Chris preaching, but the presence of God was very real here on Wednesday night, and He blessed my heart. And I was praying Thursday morning, and I said, Lord, now these are Your people. And God, I pray You'd give me a word for Sunday. I pray that prayer every day, just about, through the week before Wednesday night, before Sunday. I want to be obedient. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. But this was quite unusual, a little different. On Thursday morning when I was praying, and I said, God, I want You to give me a word for them, something You want me to tell them. And just as sure as I'm standing here, God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and He said, tell them that I love them and that I died for them. And I'm going to tell you, it was just as real to me, boxcar letters, that God wanted me to tell you this morning, here in this building, and in the radio audience and internet audience, that He loves you and He died for you. I was so excited. I'm going to tell you, that's so simple, so simplistic. I had been reading the Bible, and I started to run references and look and this, that, and the other. And the more I looked, it just wouldn't happen. And I just closed my Bible. And I said, thank God You love them, but You love me. Thank God You love me and You died for me. Thank God, whether it's good a day or a bad day, whether I'm well or sick, whether I'm rich or poor, whether it's daytime or night, whether it's clear or sunny or stormy, whether whatever's going on in our lives, He said, I love you. He loves us and He loves you. Everybody in this world needs to know that somebody cares. David cried out in the Old Testament and said, no man, I looked to my right, on my left, and no man cared for my soul. But I want to tell you this morning that your mama may not love you, and your daddy may not love you, and your husband may not love you anymore, and your wife may not love you anymore, but Jesus loves you this morning, and He died for you. And boy, I went to walking that morning, and I just went all the way down through, and I sang love songs. The Holy Ghost of God just put, boy, I am a really, really, really good singer. I need to record it and play it, because I get up here and I can't sing. But boy, listen, God, the love of God. Oh, listen, that little chorus came through my mind about the love of God. And once again, that little simplistic song we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And He really, really does love us. I spoke to Claire, and I wouldn't want to embarrass her, but I remember when she was little, we were riding in the car, and she was right behind me. I think she was small enough even be in a car seat, I can't remember now. But she was singing. I was riding along, and I was having one of them days. You've had those days. And I was having one of those days. And she was singing, Jesus Loves Me. Boy, I mean, she was singing it. I mean, she was like she's in Metropolitan somewhere and singing with loud voice and stretching it all out and real dramatic and everything. And I was start off, I was so thinking about so many other things. I wasn't listening. And then I got listening right there as she was getting to the end of it. And all of a sudden, she stopped singing. And she reached up and she touched me on the shoulder. And she said, Papa, He really does love you. And now I'm going to tell you right now, God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. And all the things I had that would just flood my mind and heart left. If you ever get a hold of the fact that Jesus really does love you, that He really does love you, regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes your way, that He still loves you and He sustains you. God loves you. Boy, I left out, and then that day, Thursday and Friday, I went into places of business, and I just couldn't help it. It says down here that we might have boldness. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. But when you love somebody and somebody loves you, it's just a plumb easy thing to talk about it. And so I was excited. I was checking out at Carly C's, and there's a young lady there that checked me out. I read her name tag. And when I got my receipt and everything, I looked at her and I called her name. And I said to her, I said, I'll just tell you something. I said, Jesus loves you. Well, she looked at me from the top of my head and sold my feet. She looked around. I don't know if she's expecting a punchline or she thought I was some sort. I wasn't really dressed up. But she's just checking me out. But Jesus really does love her. And then there's other places I went, and it was just in my heart. And I said, Jesus loves you. And I got a varied response. Someone just looked at me. Most of them just were just curious, you know, didn't know what to say. And you know, there were people, other people in line, other people coming up, and that's all I had a chance to say. But Jesus loves you. Can I tell you, Jesus loves you? He said, I love you. If you go through the Word of God, you'll find this testimony about His love. In John 17, I've been preaching on this on Wednesday night, but I want to read a little passage of Scripture here in verse 23. He said this, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Wow. Did you know Jesus loves you? God loves you like He loves His own Son. Isn't that astounding? What an awesome thought to think He really does love you. It's not just something written in the Bible. He really does love you, and He loves you like He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be where I am, that they might hold my glory, which Thou hast given me before, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. If God loves us like He loves Jesus, and He loved Jesus before the foundation of the world, He loved you before the foundation of the world. He loved you before you was ever born. You say, Brother Billy, how could that be? If there's a dear lady in here who may be expecting a baby, that husband and that mother-to-be, they love that baby. They've never seen it, never held it, never kissed it, never embraced it, but they love that baby. They love that baby. But now God's different than us. He said to Jeremiah, I saw you when you was yet in the womb, before your members ever appeared, before you ever had fingers or ears. He said, I knew you. And matter of fact, the Bible said He loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved you back then. He loved you before you'd ever went to Sunday school. He loved you before you ever did anything that you call religious. He loved you. Regardless of what your life was going to be or how you were going to live and whether you accept Him or reject Him, He loved you before the foundation of the world. Thank God for that. Now, how can it be? Well, in Deuteronomy, I want to read you a passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy and listen to what it said. He loved us before the foundation of the world. But in the book of Deuteronomy, He's speaking primarily to Israel. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse number 7, let me find that for you. Notice what He says in this passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He's speaking to Israel. But here's what I want you to understand what He says. He said, the Lord did not set His love upon you. And I know that He loves us is like He loved His own Son. And He loves us like He loved Israel. And that little word set, He set His love on us. He loved us before the foundation of the world, but He chose to love us. There was not any motivation in us that caused Him to love us. Not one thing made Him love me about me. He chose to do that. And He set His love on me. And I got down my Webster's Dictionary and blew my mind. It's very small print, but there's about two pages of the definition of this word set. I wouldn't dare even think about giving all to you, but He wanted me to tell you He loved you this morning. And He set His love on you. And He loved you before the foundation of the world. And the word set in Webster's Dictionary, but let me share these with you just quickly. It's to set means to put or to fix in any situation. In Genesis chapter 9, it said, God set the sun and the moon and the stars. He set that. In other words, the sun's still there, the stars are still there, the moon's still there. It means that it's set, it's fixed. It means it's permanent, it's immovable. It means to place. God chose to fix His love on us. It means that it's nothing about us that we did, nor that we have not done, that caused Him to love us. before the foundation of the world. And can I tell you that nothing you do now or nothing you do for Him or you don't do for Him affects that love? He has set His love on you. And when you feel loved, He loves you. And when you don't feel love, He loves you. And when you love Him, He loves you. And when you're cold and indifferent, He still loves you. He set it on you. It's fixed. It's set. It's there. And also it means this, to put onto in any condition or state. Deuteronomy chapter number 28, it said that He set them on high. It means that for any condition, any situation, it's a set thing. It's not going to vary. It's not a variable. It doesn't change with the wind. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't change with emotion. It is a set thing. He set it forever. He just set His love on us. Thank God there's nothing we can do to discourage it. There's nothing we can do to quench it. It's set on us. He chose to love us, and God set it on us. It means this. It means not only to fix or to put on in any condition, but it means to attach. In Genesis chapter 4, it says, the Lord set a mark on Cain. It means that He set a mark on him for identification. It was kind of like a brand. And when you get, He said, I set my love on you. It's like a brand. It's like an identification. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have love one for another. And the love of God is set on us. Praise God, it is an identifying mark on us. God's people love. And when He set His love on you, my dear friend, it is like a mark on you. It's not able to be moved. It has to do with this. The same thought I've shared with you already. It means to render motionless, to set, like concrete sets. It's there. It's permanent. And His love is permanent on us. It means this. It means to set as in a plant, which means to embed. And not only did He love us externally, but He loved us internally. The Holy Ghost of God shed abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He set His love on us, loved us outwardly, loved us inwardly. It means to set, implant. He implanted His love in us, and thank God for that. It means this. It means to return to a proper order. Sometimes it's used in regard to setting a bone. And my dear friend, if there's anything to bring order in your life, if there's anything that'll straighten out your home, if there's anything to straighten out your marriage, it is the love of God. It means to set, to make proper, to make right, to bind. It means this. It means to extend or to cover, as in a sail. They set sail. It means they raise those sails. And it means to cover. And thank God the love of the Lord Jesus Christ covers us. His love covers us. The other night, Mercy's Cross sang a song, so the love of God covers us. And thank God it does cover us. To set means He covered us with His love. He enveloped us in His love. He planted His love in us. He set His love on us. It never changes. It also means this. It means to display or to exhibit for the present, to be viewed or to be shown. Listen, the Bible said that He saved us by grace and He loved us, and that He might show in the ages to come the grace He extended to us. His love was set on us for display. He wanted to display the love of God. Oh, listen, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And nothing displays the love of Christ any more than what He died for us. But my dear friend, that love set on us, He displays His love. You see the character. I'm thinking about that prodigal who turned his back on his father and forsook him and wasted all of his substance right as his living. But yet when he came back, the father saw him a great way off and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And when I read that story, the one thing that stands out to me is not necessarily the repentance of the son, but it is the love of the father who didn't give up on him. And thank God that love didn't give up on us. And it's set on us. And the purpose of that story was to call people to Christ, sure, and to call the sinner to repent and get right with God. But it was the fact that God's love extends beyond the hog pen, that God's love extends beyond our failure. And when we wasted our life and we wasted everything else, God still loves us and He welcomes us back. His love, it demonstrates His love. behold, what manner of love the Father has shown upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Man, listen, we don't even worthy, so many of us are not even worthy to be called Christian. But God called us His Son. He shed His love on us. He set His love on us. It is a permanent thing, an established thing, my dear friend, that we might experience that love embedded in us. And the marvel is this, not that we're great Christians or that we're this or that or the other, but it's His love that's on display. He's displaying His love and His mercy and His forgiveness. And He forgives us and He loves us because of His love and mercy and grace. That's what's on display in our lives. It is the grace of God. Years ago, God spoke to my heart. And whenever somebody says anything, you've heard me say it, He's a great God. He's a good God. God is good. God is good. Because everything happened in my life, everything happens in your life that even has any semblance to godliness, it was Him. It was Him. And what's on display in your life and my life is the love of God. Man, people see the love of God. Listen, it means this. It means to adorn or to decorate or to embellish, to set. They set a diamond in a some sort of ring. They set it in a necklace. It means to adorn or to display or to exhibit or to embellish or to decorate. And my dear friend, what is on us that makes a difference in this world is not our biblical knowledge, but is the love of Christ on us. They got an answer for everything except for love, except for how you love people and how the love of God's on you and in you and through you. They don't have an answer for that. He set His love on us. It has this idea. It is the idea of to be set or assigned for a particular purpose. And thank God He set His love on us. It had no motive in us. Nothing motivated Him about us to do it. But it was just He set His love on us. But He loved us for a purpose. He said everything was created for His pleasure. We love Him because He first loved us. My dear friend, listen, God loves you enough. He's got a purpose for your life. One of the brethren came in this morning and we were talking about it, and I was reminded of that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. All these things be added unto you. God has a purpose for your life. That's why He set His love on you. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got something He wants you to do. And you know, I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning. It was a blessing. He made a simple statement. He said this, the perfect will of God is to do what He just got through telling you to do. It's not what He wants you to do tomorrow. Everybody's thinking about tomorrow. I think I've shared this. There used to be a guy when I pastored down in Florida. He always wanted to do big things for God. Oh, he had all these big ideas. He bought books. He had a lot of money and everything. He bought books and this, that, and the other, and he had all the books. He had a lot of property, and he wanted to take this property and make a camp out of it, and he went all over the country talking to people and you know, involved in those type of ministries. He wanted to do something big for God. But the simple things right in front of him, he wouldn't do. He wouldn't do it. He had this concept of tomorrow, big days ahead. But Dr. Stanley said, the perfect will of God is to do the last thing He told you to do right now. Do it now, whatever it is. The steps of a good man are order of the Lord, and He loved you with a purpose. Oh, listen, and so many of them, I could go on and on and on. But He said this in the definition, it means the beginning of a journey. We set out. It's the beginning. And can I tell you, my dear friend, that the beginning of the greatest journey you'll ever experience is when you experience the love of God. That's the beginning of the journey. When you learn that He loved you so much, He died for you. Oh, listen, it is the beginning of the journey. He wanted me to tell you He loved you this morning. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He set His love on you. And Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says this, He loved you with an everlasting love. A love that will not quit, will not let you go. I was rejoicing on Friday evening. I was having time just praising the Lord and thinking about some things. And I said, Lord, I thank You for helping me and giving me boldness to tell what You told me And I was so excited that I told all those people that Jesus loved them. And he said, but you really didn't tell them what I told you to tell them. And it dawned on me. I was so excited about what he said about loving me, I forgot to tell them that he died for them. I don't want to forget that with you this morning. He loved you so much that he died for you. The Bible says in the book of Romans that he loved us and gave himself for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed his love for us by letting his son die for us. Two things I want to point out to you quickly about that. As I thought about it on Friday evening, oh, I missed it, Lord. I'm sorry. It's one thing to love people. You can walk into the room of somebody who's dying with cancer and love them and not have any help for them. You can love them just as surely. I mean, it's genuine. It's real. It's love. But you don't have the ability to do anything about their what they're in, the cancer. But Jesus said, I loved you. I set my love on you. I loved you with an everlasting love. I loved you for the foundation of the world. And I died for you. And it says two things to me. Number one, it says something to me about the desperate need of my life. I needed more than just his love. And you need more than just the love of God. Does God love you? Yes, he does. But that love is purposed love. He loved us and died for us. He loved us and gave his only begotten son. That speaks of our desperate need. To know that he loves you is a wonderful thing, particularly for those of us who are saved. Even for those who don't know him as God, don't know him as Savior, to think that there's a God who created this universe and he's mindful of you and he knows you and loves you. That's a good thing. But the whole statement is this: he loved you and he died for you. That speaks of your desperate need. Can't save yourself. But he paid that sin debt for you because he loved you, that you might have everlasting life. God commended, God showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us while we were sinners, but he died for us while we were sinners, because we could not save ourselves. Only he could do that. He's the only Savior. But then the second thing about that statement, he died for me and died for you, not only my desperate need, but also it demonstrates the depth of his love. God incarnate in human flesh, God who had never been tired nor weary, who never thirsted nor hungered, God who never experienced pain, never wept, clothed himself in human flesh. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. He was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. God fashioned him a body, not to be a great teacher, not to be a healer, but to be a sacrifice. John identified him well when he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ came in a human body to die. He came to give his life a ransom. That's the great depth of his love. He was willing to suffer and bleed and die because he loved me. How embarrassed am I when I don't even read his Bible, when I take lightly the opportunities to go to the house of God to worship or to pray or to be blessed or to sing? How embarrassed am I that he who loved me so much, he died for me, that I question whether or not I ought to do this or that or the other that he wants me to do? We love him because he first loved us. It demonstrates the depth of his love for us, our dire need. But here is the demonstration of that great love. He died for us, knowing we were sinners, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we were saved, He knew our lostness, He knew what we were, and He died for us that we might have life everlasting. But here's the love demonstrated even further. He knew that after I got saved and after you got saved, that you wouldn't always be faithful to Him. There'd be a time that you wouldn't speak boldly for Him. There'd be a time that you were neglectful of your Bible reading, your prayer, and everything else. But His great love, wherewith He loved us, goes beyond all of that. He loves us when we fail Him, but He never fails us. He wanted me to just tell you this morning, friends in the building and the radio audience and the internet audience, He said this, just tell them I love them and I died for them. Would you bow your heads in prayer? The love of God, how limitless, how matchless. Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. That goodness is a demonstration of His love. He set His love on you. That means it's fixed on you, set on you. I tried to do what the Holy Ghost wanted me to do. Now you've got to do what He wants you to do. Maybe you've been unfaithful to that love. You've been neglectful. But I want to just tell you, He doesn't love you any less than He did the day He saved you. It's a very humbling thing when we realize how much He loves us. He does love you. Let's stand together. If God the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart some way, you feel like you need to get around this altar, first of all, as a Christian. And you need to say, Lord, thank You for loving me so. You may be like I have been, say, oh, God, forgive me. I've not loved the brethren like I ought to. I've not loved the house of God like I ought to. I've not loved the Bible like I ought to. And if Your love's in me and I love You like You love me, I'd love all those things. God, forgive me. I pray, God, that You might, Lord, Your love might be perfected in me, that I might have boldness. If You love people, if You really care about them, I don't know what You're supposed to do. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God deals with us individually. He knows your name. He knows where you are right now. If you're not saved, He knows that. And He wants you to know that He loves you and He died for you. Will you respond to that love by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior today? If you're a Christian, will you come? Just obey Him right now. Obey Him. God, do Your work. Holy Ghost of God. But He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's very personal. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Let's sing another verse of that song while Lemon sings with us. Jesus is the sweetest name I Amen. Think about that name.
And he's just the same.
You know this song, sing.
As his holy name. And that's the reason why I love him so.
What a name. Father, I want to thank you for our precious friends.
And
God, I thank you, God, for
what you've been doing.
He spoke to me on Thursday morning early and said, just tell them that I love them and that I died for them. Boy, if that'd get in our heart, regardless of what happens, he loves us. When other people mistreat us, he loves us. When others forsake us, he loves us. When we're well, he loves us. When we're sick, he loves us. When we're well off financially or we're in poverty, he loves us. Regardless of what comes or goes, he set his love on us. Whether we are faithful or unfaithful, he still loves us. Oh, listen, thank God for that. And he died for us. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things? If he loved you enough to give his son for you and he loved you enough to die for you, he'll meet your need. And when you think about that every day, whenever something comes up, an opportunity for you to witness, when you think about some Christian responsibility or something needs to be done, and we begin to make excuses about why we can't or why we won't, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will echo this in your heart over and over again. Just tell them I love them and I died for them. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your presence. God, I want to thank you for the Holy Ghost of God. And God, I pray you'd make real. Our Father, this is not a simple statement. The fact that you love us is not a simple statement. It is, Lord, unbelievable. Beyond past knowledge is what Paul said in Romans. The love of God is past knowledge. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will help us to be aware of it. And God, that it will affect us and we'll love you because you first loved us.